The Apostle Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians, in the 9th chapter, verse 16. He said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." My subject today is, why do I preach the gospel? Now, I know what Paul is saying here. I can identify with what he's saying completely. I love this scripture, and I can enter into it. I have experienced it. I understand what he's saying. I think I can explain it to you. If you look carefully at it, now listen. He says, though I preach the gospel of Christ, though I preach the gospel of Christ our Lord, I have nothing to glory of. I have no reason to boast if I preach the gospel. If I preach the word of God accurately and truthfully and even powerfully, I have nothing in which to boast. I have no reason to brag as if I had done something great and feel that I've accomplished some great mission. No, I'm just a servant of God. And a servant is expected to be loyal and true to his master, is he not? Paul kept saying, though I be nothing, he said, I labored more abundantly than you all, yet not I, but Christ in me. I have nothing to glory of if I preach the gospel. I have nothing to glory of. What I have, he gave me. What I am, he made me. I am what I am by the grace of God. What I know, he taught me. You see, the glory belongs all to him, to our God. I know what Paul's saying here. Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing in which to glory, boast about, or brag about at all. For he says, necessity is laid upon me. I must preach the gospel. Necessity. Why? Well, it's the gospel of God. I don't dare preach any other gospel. It's his gospel. Paul called it the gospel of God. I must preach God's gospel. It's the truth. I couldn't say anything else. I've got to tell the truth. I've got nothing to brag about or boast about. Just telling the truth. I can't lie to you. It's the gospel by which I was saved. This gospel found me and lifted me, redeemed me, and gave me hope. Why would I find anything to brag about or boast about except in the cross of Christ? It's the only way to God for sinners. If I'm standing on the street corner and you drive by in your car and stop and roll down the window, as we've done many times, and look out and ask me directions to a certain place, and I know where it is and I stand there, I don't dare tell you the wrong way. I point and tell you where it is. You say, well, I'm sure proud of you. Don't be proud of me. I haven't done anything. I just told you where your goal is, told you the way, told you how to get there, how long it'll take you to make it. Necessity is upon me. I must preach the gospel. And then he says, woe is unto me. Woe is unto me. If I preach not the gospel, if I lie to people. Listen to Paul in Galatians 1. You've read this, haven't you? Galatians 1, verse 8. It's strong words. He says, listen, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. Listen, he says, I'm going to repeat this. It's strong, powerful, but true. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that gospel which you have received, let him be accursed. So, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast about or brag about or seek men's applause. Necessity is laid upon me. I must preach the gospel. It's God's gospel. It's the truth. It's the only way to God. It's the gospel by which I was saved. Should I tell men something else? Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So why do we preach the gospel? preach the gospel. Let me give you five reasons. This will serve as my outline for today on this subject of preaching the gospel. Why do we preach the gospel? Well, first of all, we preach the gospel because we've been commanded to preach the gospel. That's why we preach the gospel. Our Lord gave these orders to His apostles. After He died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose again and appeared to His disciples and above 500 people at once, for 40 days He made personal appearances after He rose from the grave. And then He assembled His disciples before Him, before He ascended to heaven. He said, "Now, all power is given unto Me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe what things I've commanded you. And you preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." That's why I preach the gospel, because the Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to preach the gospel. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, people were talking about who baptized this one, who baptized that one, who baptized the other one. They were divided over their preachers. Some said, "I'm of Paul." Some said, "I'm of Apollos." And some said, "I'm of Cephas." And some said, "I'm of someone else." And Paul was rebuking these people. And he says, "God didn't send me to baptize or organize. He sent me to preach the gospel." You see that? And then when he went down to Corinth, this was the mighty city of Corinth, and this was the great Apostle Paul. And he came down there and he said, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and trembling. But," he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's reason enough, isn't it? If I didn't have the other four, would that be reason enough to preach the gospel? My Lord, my blessed Redeemer, commanded me to preach the gospel. And in the book of Ezekiel, by way of illustrating, in the book of Ezekiel, God took His prophet Ezekiel out on a hill overlooking a valley. And there had been some sort of battle in that valley, and many people had been killed. And there were thousands of bones. That's what the Scripture said. The valley of dry bones, someone called it. Bleached, barren, dry, brittle bones lying under a desert sun for many years. Dry as powder. Even the dogs wouldn't have them. And God sent Ezekiel out there to look over this great valley of bones. And this is what He asked him. He said, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live again? What did Ezekiel say? "Lord, Thou knowest. They can't make themselves live. I can't make them live. You can, because You gave man life to begin with. You gave them life when they were born, and You took their life when they died. If You're pleased, You can give it back. So You know." Now watch it. So God spake again and said, "Son of man, preach to them. Preach to them. Say to these dry bones, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now that's the reason I preach the gospel. God commanded. God lets me survey a great, vast valley of the shadow of death in which there are many dead sinners. And He says, "Can they live? Can they, the spiritually dead, live? Lord, You know. Well, preach to them. Preach to them and command them to hear the word of the Lord. Tell them what I can do and what I will do. Tell them." That's why I preach the gospel. I'm commanded to. And if God's pleased to awaken the dead, give men life, I'll rejoice. If God's not pleased, as in the days of Noah, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, preached 120 years, never had a convert. But he didn't quit preaching.
You see, we preach. And if I preach, I have nothing to glory of. Necessity is laid upon me. He told me to. He said, preach the gospel. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. There's no season for preaching the gospel. It's all the time. I know there's a time to plant and a time to reap and a time to sow. And there's a time to do whatever you have to do. But the time to preach the gospel is all the time. In season, out of season. Or secondly, let's move on. Why do we preach the gospel? We preach the gospel because the gospel glorifies God. Now remember that. I preach the gospel because He commanded me to. And secondly, well, preacher, you preach the gospel to save sinners, don't you? Well, yes, I'll get to that in a minute. But I preach it first to glorify God. If He's not pleased to save anybody, I'm going to still preach it because it glorifies God. In 1 Timothy 1:11, Paul calls it the gospel of God's glory. When you read that scripture, the glorious gospel of God our Savior, it's the gospel of the glory of God our Savior. That's what our Lord prayed before He went to the cross. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And that's what I pray when I stand here through these 20 years preaching to you. God, glorify your name. Come, let us come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, Paul says this. He said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest the glorious gospel, the light of the glorious gospel of God, should shine into them. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. This gospel is the gospel of His glory. This gospel glorifies God. This gospel exalts His name. The greatest glory of God is His mercy, His grace to sinners. The average person, now listen to me. Pull up your chair and listen to me. The average person thinks that God's greatest glory is creating a world. God's greatest glory is in holding space and planets, sun and moon and stars together. People think God's greatest glory is raising up empires. God's greatest glory, perhaps, is healing a sick person. Well, the heavens declare the glory of God. I know that. The firmament showeth His handiwork. But the greater glory of God is His mercy. His mercy, His grace, His redemption through Christ, that's His greater glory. God hath commanded light to shine out of darkness. Yes, that's glorious. But He hath in the same way shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of His glory. Where? Where is God's glory? In the face of Jesus Christ. Christ crucified. Christ risen. Christ our intercessor. Christ, our mediator. That's the glory of God in the face of. Have you seen Him? If you haven't, you haven't seen the glory of God. If you haven't, you haven't seen the glory of God. Well, preacher, I've seen the sun. I know the heavens declare a measure of God's glory, but the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Savior, Christ, Redeemer, God, God-man. That's where you see His glory. Moses prayed in Exodus 33. He says, Lord, show me Your glory. Moses had seen all these miracles of Egypt. The dividing of the sea, the smiting of the rock, the feeding with manna. He'd seen all those things. And here he is asking God to show him His glory. And God said, all right. Get behind the rock. Get in the cleft. Put my hand over you. I'm going to pass by you. I'm going to show you My glory. My glory is My goodness. Read it, Exodus 33, 18, 19. My glory is My goodness. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. That's My glory. That's right. You see, the cross reveals the holiness of God. The cross reveals the holiness of God. God spared not His own Son. That's how holy God is. He'll crucify Christ, His Son, bearing our sins. That's our holiness. That's where you see the holiness of God. You don't see the holiness of God in the law, some of it. You don't see the holiness of God in rules and regulations, some of it. But the holiness of God is when the judge of the earth will kill his son because he bears sin. That's how holy he is. You're not that holy. You'd put somebody else's boy in jail, but not yours. You'd put that boy down the street in jail, but you wouldn't put your son in jail. You'd write to the judge and write to the mayor and write to the governor and everybody this side of heaven to keep him out of prison. Because you're not holy. But God is. The cross shows the holiness of God. The cross reveals the wisdom of God. Only God could have come up with this way of salvation. The cross reveals the justice of God. The cross reveals the love of God. Nowhere is the love of God seen. Like Calvary, God so loved the world, He gave His Son. The cross reveals the mercy of God. The cross reveals the power of God. But the reason our Lord crucified is called the power and wisdom of God is because there at that cross, mercy and truth met together. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. That's why we preach the gospel. It's the glory of God. All right. Third reason. We preach the gospel because by the preaching of the gospel. Now listen carefully. By the preaching of the gospel, the elect of God. God has an elect. The Bible says that over and over again. The elect of God. By the preaching of the gospel, the elect of God hear. Hear the gospel. And they believe. And they're saved. That's how they hear the Word of God. That's how they hear the promise of God. That's how they hear the grace of God and the mercy. They hear. Listen to these scriptures. John 5:24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. What does he do? He hears. Hears my word. He says in Ephesians 1, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In Romans chapter 10, it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's how the elect are saved. They hear the gospel. They hear the gospel. They see Christ in the word. They hear and they see and they believe. James 1:18, listen. Listen to this now. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. We hear the word. The word is the seed. That's right. In the begatting, in the conception of life, there's got to be a seed. You don't have corn without a seed. You don't have an apple tree without a seed. You don't have your flowers without a seed. Nothing grows without a seed. It doesn't just grow. You don't just stand back and say, I want an apple tree. Well, plant a seed. And children are born because a seed is planted. Now listen. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again. Not a corruptible seed. It's not an apple seed or a mustard seed or a flower seed or an acorn. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. When the Spirit of God comes, we're born of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And when the Spirit of God comes with the Word, life is begotten. Life. Oh, I tell you, Psalm 115. They said, David, where's your God? Where's your God, David? He said, in the heavens. He said, what's he like? He said, our God is in the heavens, and our God hath done whatsoever he pleased. Whatever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, earth, in the seas, and all deep places. Well, what has it pleased your God to do? Well, he tells us, in 1 Samuel 12, it says, it pleased God to make you his people. You didn't choose him. He chose you. You didn't love him. He loved you. It pleased him to make you his people. Secondly, it pleased God that in Christ should all fullness dwell. He put everything in the hands of Christ. Everything pertaining to life and godliness is in the hands of Christ. Isaiah 53:10. Then it pleased God to bruise him. God sent him to a tree and bruised him. Smitten of God, stricken of God, smitten and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. Pleased God to bruise him. And then it pleased God to reveal his Son in you and me. Galatians 1:15. And then 1 Corinthians 1:21. When Paul said that he didn't send me to baptize, he sent me to preach the gospel. He went on and said this, because it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's why I preach. That's exactly right. Why do I preach the gospel? God commands me to. Why do I preach the gospel? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the glory of God and the power of God. He said in 2 Corinthians 2, I am bound to give thanks to God for you always, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. By our gospel. That Ethiopian eunuch, he heard the gospel. Philip preached it to him. Now here's the fourth reason. By the preaching of the gospel, the people of God have assurance. Every time a child of God hears this gospel, God blesses it to his heart. You see, the preaching of the word is our green pastures. It's our still waters. It's our table he has prepared before us. And when we hear this message, it gives us assurance and confidence and growth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As newborn babes, listen. As newborn babes, God's babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. You know, that little baby born into your home. I was recently in a meeting, and a lady had twins, and they were 9 days old. She brought them to church. They're so frail and fragile and tiny. But when I go back there in a year, it'll be a whole new ball game. They'll be fat and saucy and sassy. You know why? Milk. Milk. And plenty of it. Mama's milk. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. Preacher, why don't I grow in faith? You're neglecting the food, the Word of God. Why am I always so discouraged and filled with anxiety and trouble? You're staying away from the green pastures. You're hungry. Malnutrition. You're suffering from spiritual malnutrition. You're not studying the Word of God. You grow by the Word of God. Comfort comes by the Scriptures. Comfort one another with these words. Every grace of our God comes through the Word, and the growth of that grace is through the Word. These religious fellows came around our Lord, and they said, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you, but you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Never will. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why. God commands us to. It's the gospel of His glory. It's the gospel by which His people are saved. It's the gospel by which they grow. And then last of all, because it's the only true gospel. There is but one gospel. Let me read those words again from Galatians 1. Strong words, but I do believe them. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so saying I now again, if any man preach any other gospel than you have received, let him be accursed. Paul said, our gospel is the only gospel. There's no other. Why did he believe that? Well, could I close with this? I believe that our gospel is the only gospel, first, because it's true to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God. Our gospel is according to the Scriptures. Secondly, I believe it's the only gospel because it gives God all the glory. Thirdly, it enables God to be just and justifier. That's right. Fourthly, it'll save the chief of sinners. No merit, no works. Grace. And it'll keep him saved. And he'll give him a perfect holiness and standing before God. And it's the power of God that'll take him to glory. That's what this gospel will do. Why do we preach the gospel?